future, talk radio will actually educate, inspire, and make you think. The future is now. Topics and music that affect your life from Universal Broadcasting Network. Tune in at ubnradio.com.
This is Dates and Mates with your host, Damona Hoffman.
Hello, my lovelies. It's Wednesday, and it's Dates and Mates. Yes, I'm your host, Damona Hoffman, and my co-host, CEO of the Techspert app, Ray Christian,
yo, yo,
is holding down the fort there at UBN Radio in Hollywood while I am calling in from NYC. I'm working on a brand new TV series where I'll be helping people with dating and mating, just like I do here on this show every single week. I won't be able to tell you more about the show for a few more months, but I am super excited, and I know you're going to love it. Today, on Dates and Mates, we're going to tackle some juicy dating dilemmas. We're going to ask, is it easier for dads to date after divorce than for moms? What do you do if your ex-boyfriend left you with an STD? Is it possible to find love again? And what if you're dating someone new who likes it a little too kinky in bed? Plus, in the dish, we're going to have the worst, I swear, the very worst dating site in the whole wide world. We'll be talking about a celebrity's secret lesbian desires. Mm. And you can find out who has recently been banned from Tinder. All that and more on today's Dates and Mates. As always, we want you to be a part of the show. You can subscribe to us on iTunes, Stitcher, Spreaker, TuneIn, and now iHeartRadio. And I love hearing your questions. Make sure that you tweet them to me at Damona Hoffman, or you send them in through the Techspert app. And if you have a tricky texting situation, you can even post it there on the Techspert app and get advice from all the Techsperts around the world, as well as me and Ray. Producer Jay is also in the studio. How you feeling, Producer Jay?
Oh, I'm great. How are you?
It's a Monday.
I'm lovely. Ray, I hear you laughing. I know you're having a good time.
Making lemonade out of lemons here.
Okay, well, let's get started with a little D's dating dish.
All right. Let's do it.
Let's do this.
D's dating dish.
So you heard me in the tease say that there really is the worst dating site in the world. This is, of course, according to me, but it's going to be according to a lot of people. There's a new site that's called TrumpSingles.com. It's started by a lifelong Republican named David Goss, who just thought there weren't enough, you know, narrow-minded single women for him to date. So his answer to that was to start a website for other people who share his views. And the tagline of it, are you ready for this, guys?
Let's hear it.
The tagline is making dating great again. You know, to match with making America great again. But the site has only attracted about 500 users, mainly from DC, LA, and New York. And they're saying it's an answer to the Canadian dating site Maple Match, which pairs anti-Trump Americans with Canadian singles who want to jump ship if Trump actually gets elected. What do you think of this site, Ray?
Well, first of all, Maple Match, this Canadian website, what an exquisite name. That's just a great name. What are they saying? Are they insinuating it's a little like a syrup swap or something? Like, that's just a good name. That's a great name for a dating site.
And Maple is just good. It's good. It's sweet. You know, it just draws you in.
That sugar.
And I'm sure if Trump becomes president, like over my dead body, but if he becomes president, then there are going to be a lot of people that will need someone to marry so that they can move into another country and start afresh without Trump.
I think you're right. I think we have a new leader at the mantle of worst dating site. I think they have now taken over from Ashley Madison. This is the new number one target for hackers, I think.
Well, I don't really know.
That's a great.
I don't know if it's actually a bad thing, because I kind of rather people that are interested in Trump to be somewhere else.
You want to know where they are?
Yep.
Simple target.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly. So it kind of looks like we may have lost Damona Hoffman from the call right now. It is a great day here at UBN.
If you want, I can keep us rolling on the Tinder. situation. If you, want to try to pipe her back in.
And you can go ahead. Go ahead. Let's keep going. Let's run with it. Let's go with Tinder.
So Tinder has recently banned a chunk of users. And you'd be a little surprised to hear which demographic that was. And it looks like they have now banned anybody that's 18 and under due to safety concerns. And it's kind of odd because for now, what, 3, 4, 5 years, they've had anybody that's 13 or older was able to participate. And now they're saying if you were under 18, you are no longer welcome. So it's a little bit of a strange option, especially as you look at where they've come from. It seems a little bit reactive, I would imagine, where for a long time they've kind of had their growth fueled by these youth users that come on every day, use their app every day, and bolster their metrics every day. And now that things are a little bit awry, or if they feel like they've kind of hit the jackpot, now they're saying, "Oh, we're too good for this now. We don't want to cause any issues now and allow these teens to have sex or use our app to have sex," even though they've been doing that for the past 4 or 5 years. So a little bit of a reactive thing again, more than being proactive. Is it a PR stunt again, producer Jay?
You know what? I really don't know. But what I'm going to try to do is I'm going to try to get Damona like on her cell phone to see if we can do that, because that may actually make it a little bit. I really want to hear her insight on this. So let's see if we can get her on. This way, you know, everybody gets to kind of hear what happens behind the behind the scenes.
We're
right
a democracy.
Now.
Everyone's got a voice.
It totally is. So let's see. Let me, without putting Damona's phone number all out there into into the radio waves.
I found funny about the article as well was how they mentioned that Craigslist is now the de facto option for any of these young users. So they said, well, Tinder's now no longer the option. Now they can use Craigslist.
That's
it's a good point because Craigslist kind of just like flies under the radar.
But Craigslist feels very creeper-ish.
Right.
Like it feels very, very unsafe. I don't know. Like that seems a little, I don't know. It's a little sketchy for this. Let's see if we can get Damona and see if she has something to fully say about this.
Craigslist seems like it's like the dark web. Like it's unpoliced. Who pays for it? How do they make money? It's like where all sketchy things go down. That's Craigslist.
Right.
That's like, it should be their tagline from here on out.
Seriously enough, we're just going to pause for a second.
The suspense is killing me.
It is. The suspense is like...
Damona's really playing hard to get today.
I know, right?
She's so elusive. This is what happens when you work with a big flashy TV star.
I know, right?
They're a bit elusive. All right, ladies and gentlemen, we're going to take a quick little pause while we wait for the wonderful Damona Hoffman. And I think technology has tried to derail the show a little bit, but we're going to overcome. We will overcome. How we looking, producer Jay?
Not the best.
She's not responding to calls?
Well, it's not even dialing her right now.
So before we move on to the LGBT topic, a couple parting thoughts, unless we can get Damona in here on this this Tinder user issue. Tinder has recently started polishing up their image, which is funny because it's kind of happening as they are becoming the uncool kid on the block. So if you've used dating apps, Tinder was obviously the trailblazer, and they came out and kind of set the industry where everyone thought it was all Match.com or it's all OkCupid and eHarmony, and they came in to a market that seemed to be fairly mature and came with a new avenue, which is obviously mobile only, and yet they obviously took off like gangbusters. And they were kind of the hot kid on the block for a long time, and obviously where one company or a product is successful, you typically will find more copycats, and that's happened. You've got Hinge, and then you had Bumble, which was a spinoff from one of their original co-founders, and Whitney Wolf. Actually, there was a big lawsuit with her as one of the co-founders with sexual harassment alleged, and Bumble has now become kind of the cool place to be if you're a dating app resident. So You also have Happn, and actually the estimates, Happn is another app. The estimates are that there are 3,000 other dating apps. So a lot of copycats. And Tinder has kind of come down and become the like the beat up old club or bar that it's a bit of a scrap heap that not too many people are using, especially here in the U.S. as much. It's still kind of growing internationally, but it seems like they're really trying to make waves for PR reasons because they're no longer cool. They're no longer hip. It's really Bumble now, and it's Hinge, and it's these other apps. So, do we have the find the
what did I miss?
Everything.
Best show ever.
The show must go on, even if the host is lost in New York City.
You missed my monologue on Tinder. My extemporaneous monologue.
Oh. But continue. Yeah, we'll jump in.
Tinder used to allow people under 13. I was really surprised by that.
Or under 18?
They used to, allow anyone over 13.
Right.
And now they're making it over 18. And I think that's a good thing because, look, as a parent, I'm horrified of the idea that in like 8 years, my daughter could have been on Tinder. That's disgusting me.
It's a little much for a 14-year-old to be on Tinder, swiping right, finding guys. That doesn't seem right.
And look, even though they say, well, only teens could only contact other teens, we all know that there's so many catfish out there and that some lecherous guy or girl can easily make a new profile under a fake name and pretend like they're 14 and try and start a relationship with a 14-year-old. So I think it's smart that they did this. And, they're saying now that some of the teens are turning to Craigslist, which is even more sketchy. So that part scares me. But there's always ways. We had AOL chat rooms back in the day. So there are ways that if a teen really wants to date someone, they're going to find a way.
Does it seem a little too late to you, Damona, where it's like they're this international sensation and now they're getting on their high horse about no under 18 kids allowed? Isn't it a little late for that?
That's a good point.
So why didn't this happen earlier?
And it's kind of like, well, if they're already there, you gotta kick them off. But I think it's something that they had to do. And so I actually commend them in making the decision to do it and potentially lose users, which means you lose revenue, because they realized it was something that was a mistake in the first place. And it's better to correct the mistake than to keep going in the wrong direction.
Good point. Better late than never.
Should we talk about this new Match.com survey?
Yes, please do.
So Match.com, they do this annual survey, but this time, for the very first time, they actually surveyed the LGBTQ singles, 18 to 70, who were on the site, and they asked them a lot of really intriguing questions like, do they want to marry eventually, whether they want kids, whether or not they date someone who is transgender. And I thought it was real. The results of this survey were really interesting. Only 50% of the singles they surveyed said that they were interested in getting married. And it's interesting in a time now where the tide has shifted and our legal system has finally caught up to where we are. And same-sex couples are allowed to marry. But I wonder if it's that they've been so beaten down by society telling them that you can't get married, that now it's something they don't even want if they could. What do you think?
It does seem to mirror, I think, the culture overall, where people aren't getting married nearly as young as they used to and nearly as often as they used to. The part that kind of grabbed me a bit was the fact that the interest in getting married seemed to wane with the older demographic. The younger demographic actually had a little bit more of a positive outlook. I think like 30 and under had a little bit more positive outlook on the thought that yes, we'll get married at some point. Do you think the older generation, they're just kind of they're beaten down by love and dating and the concept of finding the one?
Well, I think that the messaging for the younger generation for so long has been, no, you can't. And I think it wasn't even as much a part of the discussion for older couples. So they weren't really considering it. And it's almost like a rebellion for the younger generation to say, well, you told me no for so long that now I'm just like, I don't even want it. But it was really interesting that they also surveyed to ask who would date someone who's transgender. And it was surprising to me that 65% of the respondents said that they would not be interested in dating someone transgender. And I find that really interesting because, you know, if we're all about love as you are, that's my tagline. Why does it even matter? And there are a lot of transgender daters that don't even disclose that they're transgender. I actually was talking to a guy on the plane a couple weeks ago, and he said that he went out with someone who on the date started crying because she said, I'm having such a great time and I have to tell you I'm actually transgender. And is that okay? Can we still date? And he was like, actually, no, we can't. But it raises that question of when do you tell somebody if you have, and does it matter if it's preoperative or if you've fully made the transition?
That's you bring up a couple points actually that are really fascinating. I actually was surprised the other way. I thought that 65% would not want to date a transgender. I thought that was actually a little bit high, considering the way people's outlook is towards transgender. And I think it gets to an interesting philosophical question. Let's say a woman.
But surveying the LGBTQ community, those were the only people that were responding.
Ah, okay. So even
I would think that they would be a little bit more understanding and open, but okay. Maybe not.
Yeah, it's interesting. Is a transgender woman not just a woman? She is different. She is, like, the definition of her is not just she's a woman. It's that she is a transgender woman. And there's, like, a philosophical difference with that. So if I'm a lesbian, I don't want to date a transgender woman. I want to date a pure woman. It seems like that's kind of at the crux of it, right?
Aren't people just people, Ray? Aren't people just people?
You know, the funny thing for me is the one stat that said most transgender, I think it was about 65% or 61%, said they will tell the truth. They will tell a significant other that they are transgender. And I found that actually kind of synced up with what I've seen on dating apps, because I've matched when I was on dating apps, not anymore, but I've matched with some transgender women off a quick swipe. And I'm, you know, at first blush, I'm like, man, this girl is a bombshell. She's a banger.
Man.
And
this then, girl's a man.
Oh.
And then the profile, she says I'm transgender, which, you know, I appreciate. But they say it's a decent chunk of the population, which kind of leads me to believe if you've made out with at least 100 people, you've probably made out with at least one transgender person. So I think
I'm pretty sure I haven't. But
have you made out with 100 people? Like,
I don't
Ray?
Know that I'd have. I mean, now, of course, I'm married, but I don't know that I'd have the biggest problem with it or any problem with it myself. You know, it's about what's the gender identity, and then, you know, how do they make you feel? Anyway, there's more news. No. Oh,
well, speaking of kissing girls.
Breaking.
Right.
There was something breaking, though. And the National Enquirer said that Richard Simmons, went through the transition, and the reason he had been kind of out of the public eye was because he was having his gender reassignment surgery. But now his spokespeople are like, that's completely false. But there were some pretty damning photos in the National Enquirer. Anyways, we don't have to talk about that. I just thought it was interesting. But we do have to talk, as we're discussing LGBTQIA. There was a celebrity who may be switching teams. We just talked about Demi Lovato last week, and there were some rumblings in the fall because she had a lyric in her song "Cool for the Summer" that kind of hinted at being bisexual. It said, "Got a taste for the cherry, I need to take a bite. Don't be scared because I'm your body type." And everybody was like, "Oh my God, is she a lesbian? Is she bi curious? What's going on with her?" And now they just canceled their tour in North Carolina. And she was on tour with Nick Jonas, not Joe Jonas, Nick Jonas. And in North Carolina, you know, there was all that hubbub about can transgender people use the bathroom of their identity or their birth sex. And they were like, you know what? We're not going there. We're not going to go to North Carolina. So now people are wondering if it, could she be transgender? Could she be lesbian? Could she just be bi curious? What's going on with Demi Lovato and sexuality? She did a whole article on People about it.
Good for her. More people should ban their events, I think, in North Carolina until this ridiculous situation gets ironed out. The NBA All-Star Game should not be there. But good for her, you know, especially on the heels of Pride Day here in L.A. and I think a few other cities. And, of course, on the heels of that horrific shooting, it's a nice little fun piece of news for the LGBT community. And, you know, if I'm Demi, then have fun, experiment, be a role model, and maybe kind of show off and maybe emulate a little bit of your inner Katy Perry when she came out with her whole I Kissed a Girl song that put a lot of boys through puberty. So good for her.
It's funny that she could come out with that whole song that is like overtly I kissed a girl and I liked it. And everybody was like, whatever. And then Demi Lovato. I mean, I don't even think those lyrics are that suggestive, but Demi Lovato comes out with the song and everybody's like, oh my God, she's a lesbian now.
Yeah, but I think you're right. I think you're right that it was just partially because it's on the heels of, like, you know, her situation with Wilmer Valderrama. But I think as far as Demi Lovato is concerned, the real question is like, did she ever pick a team? You know, because I don't know that she's ever really been that person to, you know, to do that. Because, like, when outside of the Disney world, she kept talking about the fact that she was very promiscuous and, you know, like had a very high sex drive and all that kind of stuff. So it was just like, you know, I think maybe within her world, like there's never been a delineation really, you know, and plus as she's talking
about
her
family. Well, she said in the article,
yeah,
she grew up in a household where it was okay to be transgender, or if you wanted to date someone of the same sex, it really didn't matter. They didn't really identify even in terms of that. Those labels. She's not a fan of labels, she said. So that's a good point, Jimmy. And also, it's also interesting that the default is, oh, she must be heterosexual. And so any deviation from the default is like, oh, well, what's going on with her now?
Right. Well,
so we're gonna. I do want to get to everybody's questions for Technically Dating. So we're going to take a quick break. When we come back, Ray and I are going to be giving some really great advice that comes in from the Textpert app, and also some questions from the Modern Dating Summit, which just wrapped up this week. So stay tuned. We'll be back in just a moment.
I'm Damona Hoffman, and I've been coaching singles on how to find love for over 10 years. Relationships, whether they start in a bar, on a dating site, or through friends, have developed much in the same way since I started in the love business. But one thing in particular has forever altered the way we communicate in relationships. Texting. With the rise of texting, I've seen many relationships made and many more relationships broken because we're communicating in a totally new way. If you're confused about what to say and how to say it over text, you need to watch my free training, The Texting Trap, Why Your Messages Made Your Date Disappear, at thetextingtrap.com. Don't spend another weekend wondering whether you'll hear from them ever again. See how to escape the texting trap once and for all. Know how to say just the right thing to your date to make them want more. This video training is free for Dates and Mates listeners at thetextingtrap.com.
Welcome back to Dates and Mates. I'm Ray Christian, CEO of the Textpert app and co-host of the show. My esteemed host, Ms. Damona Hoffman, is coming live via phone in the city that never sleeps. Damona, are you there?
I am, but I got a great night's sleep last night. Thank you for holding down the fort in Hollywood while I'm here in New York filming my latest TV series. You know, Ray, dating in the digital world ain't easy. But, you know, there's something for everybody. That is why we have Technically Dating.
Oh, see, it's one of those days. It was like, I
one of those days. We have Technically Dating.
But not necessarily a cue. Hold on. Here we go. All right, because I'm back at work today, ladies and gentlemen.
There it is.
Technically Dating.
All right.
Oh, it was
so
worth
Ray
the wait.
Some great messages that were submitted to the Textpert app where anyone can send messages. If you have a text that's really that's just bumming you out or you don't know how to respond to it, go ahead and post it there on the TechSpert app and you can get our advice here on the show. You ready, Ray? Tell us what we got in the TechSpert vault.
Let's do it. All right, so we're going to read off some nuggets for you today. We have a couple questions. We have a couple actual text conversations that we can analyze. So let's dive in. So the first question comes from a young woman who's 22 from Illinois. She says, so I started talking to this guy from Tinder about a week ago. And on Friday night, he got us a hotel room and we messed around a little bit. Okay. And everything went fine. He even said he enjoyed our night. But now he isn't answering my text. Should I continue trying or just dump him? Well, damn. What do you think, Damona?
Well, I think it's interesting that she is asking if she should dump him because it sounds like she just got dumped.
Yeah. Like she's going with the whole best offense is a good defense approach.
I love your sayings. We should just put those out on our Twitter feed and on the Facebook page. But yeah, I mean, look, if you get a hotel room, I don't know. She just said we messed around a little. And I'll tell you today, right, the kids today, that could mean anything. That could mean they had sex. That could mean they had oral sex. That could mean they kissed. It could mean like any base. Who knows exactly what that means? But either he could be disappointed that he got a hotel room and she didn't sleep with him, or he could have just gotten what he wanted and moved on. But the recipe for disaster is I was talking to someone on Tinder for a week and then I got a hotel room. That's where you went wrong. So the ship has sailed. There's no need to dump him at this point. You've already been dumped, unfortunately.
That's
but
true.
We can learn from our dating experiences and do something different next time.
I love that point. Messed around and hooked up, they're so vague. And it's kind of a brilliant thing, actually. Although I think she said we messed around a little bit. So that would kind of lead me to believe maybe they did not have sex. However,
I don't know. What is it today? It could be like, we didn't do anal. So we just messed around a little.
It could be. But this actually is an interesting concept because it touches on one of my gripes. I've got many gripes with guys and with girls. One of my gripes with guys, and I was guilty of it in my earlier dating days, is that guys will go as far as we can on a hookup, even after we've already decided in our own minds that we don't want to pursue anything with this girl, which I think is wrong. Like if you already decide, I don't want to see this girl for a second time, just chill out. Don't try to get it in. Don't try to go as far as you can. It looks like this guy did, and he's over it. So maybe pull back a little bit. If you're not into the girl, save your time, save hers, save the heartbreak, move out. But yes, this guy's done with her, it sounds like.
It's interesting that you say that, Ray, because in one of my programs, I was talking about how men will accelerate if they think there's no future. Then all of a sudden, at the end of the date, it'll get more hot than it would have if he was just into you. Because if he's really into you, if there's a girl you're really into, you're not going to push that hard because you're going to be like, I don't want to scare her away. You're going to try what you can do. But if a man gets really aggressive, sometimes that does mean that he's actually not interested. So I actually warned women of this phenomenon. And I don't know if it's something that we can stop. I think men are just wired to want to have sex. It's just up to the woman to set what the boundaries are. What's the second question you have in the vault?
All right, we got another doozy. So this one, actually, we have a little bit of context and a little bit of a snapshot from their conversation. So this is from...
Can we role play it?
Do you see it live? Can you see it?
I can see it.
All right, if you want, I can play it. Well, there's not much script for you on this one, but you can play the one line you get.
I'll do the blue.
Okay.
You want to set it up for us?
Sure. So the girl is saying she's 21. She says, is this guy serious about me or is this just an excuse to not commit? And then in parentheses, she says, the first time he has told me he loved me. And it was a little disappointing because it was over text. All right. And then let's go to the conversation.
Spoiler alert. You know what we're going to hear. All right.
So I'll play the gray, you're the blue. So I'm the guy. Okay. So just hear me out for a sec.
Okay.
I guess what it comes down to at the end of the day is that I love you, but I'm scared to say it, commit to you. I really don't want to F this up or to hurt you at all, ever. There's just a lot of anxiety holding me back from fully committing myself to you, and I'm trying to overcome that, but it's really, really, really hard for me. You know, when I commit to something, I do it with my whole heart. I just have to convince myself first. I hope this makes sense to you. I know that is probably really hard to respond to, but just know that I'm trying really hard. And cut.
Aww. Scene. And scene. I'm going to talk it to you first, Ray. I want to get your opinion, the guy's opinion, on all of this emotional vomit that he just spewed out at her.
I would just say that when someone, a guy or a girl, even though people say guys don't like to commit, guy or a girl, when they're not willing to commit, or they're saying, I'm like afraid of commitment, or I'm in a bad spot, that generally means they're just not that into you right now. There are certain cases where it's just truly bad timing. But like most of the time, if you find a catch and they're right in front of your nose, you're going to hold on. And if this guy's making excuses, I'm guessing he's probably not that into her.
But he said he loves her.
It seems like games, the bad kind of games. These are the games I don't like. I do like games, but it seems like he's trying to screw with her head a bit.
But see, okay, here's the thing that I see happening, especially with younger men. They feel this false sense of security over text where they can say something that they never would say to that person face to face. So I think he's really having all these feelings. And the reason that he's saying it all over text is because he doesn't have the balls to say it to her face to face. But that being said, even if he does love you, I think you're right, Ray. If he cannot commit to you right now, then that's your answer. And I just see too many women get into the situation where it's like, well, he said this now, but maybe he'll change his mind in the future. And I got broken up with so many times for this reason, because guys would say, oh, you know, you're just too good for me. Or, you know, I don't want to screw it up with you. So I'm just, you know, you're too good for that. And that's really just sort of a backhanded compliment way of saying, like, I want to get some other tail. Mm-hmm. And so I can't be in a relationship. And while it feels great to be told, like, you're too good for them, that's just, it's ultimately just a dump, which just sucks.
I don't know. I've kind of got a little bit of an opinion about this one. Because the guy is he 22? So, yeah. You know, I mean, okay, so this is still super young. And it may not be. And because I have talked to, you know, to some guys, especially coming from, you know, the Midwest and the whole Bible Belt where everything is like super accelerated.
Right.
And then a lot of times, you know, you get these girls who are already talking, like, seriously, even when I was in high school, my girlfriend was talking about how much she wanted to be a mom. Like, that was like her whole thing. So, like, everybody was really, really fast. And at 22, I'm going to assume that this guy's not very emotionally mature, but I don't think that that means necessarily that he doesn't like this girl, but he may be having like all these outside, you know, stimuli of being like, oh, I'm supposed to be in a place where I'm supposed to be able to commit and I'm supposed to be able to, you know, be serious and have this thing. And that's not matching what he's feeling internally, because sometimes he knows that he doesn't know what he's doing yet, that he's barely gotten
but
into
producer
life.
Producer Jay,
mm-hmm.
I'm not saying that he doesn't like her. I'm saying he's having all these feelings, but
right.
He can't commit to just her right now, which is he can't commit to her, period.
So, fair enough.
Waiting for something to change is... it's just going to lead to more disappointment.
If we could put a bow on this one, I would just leave it with this. You know my approach. I would say go with a little bit of relationship jujitsu. Call him on his bluff and pull back and be like, you know what? I respect where you're coming from. I care for you deeply as well. Let's date other people. And then watch him come crawling back if he really does love you. Are you ready for the next question, Damona?
Yes, and I love your relationship
I know.
Jujitsu. We're getting
bow.
We're going to get t-shirts for that one.
Okay, we got some... this is a juicy one. Are you ready, guys, for this one?
Yeah, you're going to have to maybe tone down some of the language.
Yeah, this one, I'm gonna do some self-censoring. I'm like a one-man FCC. Okay, so this is from a young lady who's 32 from Alabama. And she says, I slept with this guy last night. He's so cute, man. But when we were having the sex, I love that phrase, he kept biting my neck and shoulder, which is now red raw. So it's raw neck because he got bit up. And she says, I know I've got the, paraphrasing, the good. She got that good stuff. But come on, who bites anymore? She says, I want to see him again because his is insane. Okay. But I'm going to have to be like, dude, no biting. How do I go about this? I'm going to kick this to you, Damona. Oh, I love my Alabamians.
People have to go in the Textbird app to actually read what this person wrote because it is just, it is insane. But who bites anymore? It's like, were people biting before and then they stop? I didn't know biting was a behavior that suddenly was societally pushed out. But I think that at the core, this is about communication with your partner. And this is the problem with new sex. A lot of times, new sex either isn't good or you just don't know one another's boundaries.
Yep.
And so it can be awkward to try to establish what you like and what you don't like. And I really wish more women would be more vocal in bed about what they want. Because I think sometimes they feel nervous or embarrassed or they think they're afraid the guy will think they're criticizing them. But I'm not opposed to biting. I am opposed to her being uncomfortable or being hurt by sex. So she's got to say something if she wants to see him again.
You know, that's a great point. I'm not a big biter. I don't really like biting. I don't mind nibbling, a little nibbling, but like pain isn't really my thing in the bedroom. And I think you hit the crux of it. It is about communicating. It's something that's kind of difficult to do tactfully. Do you do it in the moment? Like, stop biting. Actually, I had a girl that was biting my lip too much while kissing. And after the third time, I said, stop doing that. Just stop. And we continued and it was okay. But like, you can also joke about it later. Like, you need to stop doing that. It's not fun. But the question of do you do it in the moment?
Say
or
it in a more inviting way. Say, you know, I'm not so into the biting, but I really love it when you do this.
Oh, that's you nailed it. That's why you're the dating coach.
Yeah. He's like, stop, just stop doing that.
Don't like bite me. Kiss
like,
me again.
Yeah, like a rolled up.
You don't want that. You don't want your partner to start being self-conscious and not wanting to take certain risks. You know, you want to keep it exciting, but you want to make sure that you establish your boundaries.
So don't roll up a newspaper and hit him on the nose with it and say, bad girl, bad boy.
I mean, if you're into that, then I guess.
Well, he might like that. Sounds like it. I don't know. But not all people who like to give pain like to receive pain. So you just have to, work it out. You have to try different things. You have to talk about it. But it sounds like it's good enough to keep it going. I have a few questions, Ray and producer Jay. Can I share what's up my sleeve?
Oh,
sure.
Pull it out.
Ugh. So after that question,
what kind of tricks you got up the sleeve?
After the last
I came out weird,
right?
No, we're gonna go back to PG. I've had a lot of questions that have come in from the women who listen to the Modern Dating Summit, and such great feedback. So first, I just want to thank any woman that joined the summit and that attended, and all the 19 experts that gave their advice for free to all of the people who signed up. So, but you know, we left people got all revved up, and then they were left with a few more questions. So Erica asked, what if you are in a period when you are making a career shift and there may be other things going on? Do you not date until everything is shifted? I've heard that sometimes we do our greatest healing and learning about ourselves through relationships. I haven't really dated much in the last 4 years, but I'm not sure where I want to be. And I'm not where I want to be in my life yet. And I'm not 100% sure I'm ready for a super time intensive relationship, but I'd like to meet people and date some. What do you think, Ray?
This is a great question, actually. And there's a lot of layers to this. I'm kind of with her, actually. I'm working so much. I don't have a lot of time to pursue a time intensive relationship. And our most important resource probably is our time. But I would say be open-minded. If someone comes out of nowhere and knocks your socks off, then pursue it. But I think for relationships to really cause some of your greatest healing, as she mentions. I think it's the full cycle of it. It's the relationship and then taking time off and kind of looking back and learning from it and being retrospective and looking at it inwards and seeing what you liked, what you didn't like, and what can you do better when you find your next mate. So I don't think there's, you should ever have a hard and fast rule like I am definitely not dating or I'm 100% pursuing a relationship. I think you should always be fluid and in the now and open to whatever life throws your way.
Yeah, I agree with you. And I do think it's dangerous to say that people do their best healing in relationships, because that's when people look at relationships as a way to fix other problems and challenges that are happening in their life. And that's when you form a relationship that really doesn't have the foundation to stand the test of time. So I would just go ahead and scratch that line out in your mind of thinking you can heal through relationships. I think you can learn through relationships, but you have to do the healing and the work on your own, on yourself. And the other thing is I just hear from so many women that say, oh, well, I'll date when? Women and men, really. Yeah. Well, as soon as I get that job, that's when I'll be ready to date. Or as soon as I get this promotion, then I'll be ready to date. Well, I'm in this city, but I'm planning to move 6 months from now, so I can't really start dating right now. And we have to just eliminate the excuses, because really what they're about is not wanting to be disappointed and having a fear of being rejected. And if you find someone, in spite of those circumstances, you will figure it out. But I still think Erica should go out and start dating people and see what she likes and learning about herself and not wait until she has it all figured out. Sometimes meeting the right person may suddenly give you an aha moment and you figure out something that you never knew about yourself before. So just get out there and see what happens.
Indeed. Indeed.
Okay. I have another question. This one is a kind of personal one. So she asked me to not use her name. First initial is D. And she says, my last boyfriend left me with an STD. That can't be treated. Can I date around with this major problem? What is the best way to approach dating in general? I don't know how and when to even broach the subject. And we did actually do a whole show on STIs and or STDs, as many people refer to them. And there's just so many resources now that you can get to educate yourself about how to stay safe and how to protect your partner, so that you do not continue to transmit the STI. And there's also dating sites that are out there for people who have a particular STI to meet others who have that, so they don't have to go through that awkwardness of disclosure, because just by being on the site, they're already disclosing that they have it. What do you think about that, Ray?
Yeah, this one is a tough one. I think that the answer is yes. There is dating after getting an STD. There, like you said, there's forums, there's dating sites for this specifically. And I think you may have to alter your approach a little bit. I think you definitely don't want to open with that. And maybe that means you hold off on getting intimate with someone until you get to know them, and then you let them know. This is actually one that I've experienced personally. I actually dated somebody, and I found out afterwards they had an STD. And just for the record, I've actually been tested many, many times since. Thank God I was able to avoid it.
Just for all the ladies out there.
Just in case you're listening, I'm clean.
Demi Lovato, Demi, give me a call anytime. I'm clean. But I did, and it was hard for her. But she was communicative about it, although after the fact a little bit. But there is life. I think what you do, there is life after that. I think you make sure you try to create a bond with someone first. Then you get intimate, or before you're getting intimate, then you tell them and let them make an informed decision. Do not get intimate with them and then tell them. I think that's unfair. But and most relationships
Absolutely.
Are about that personal connection anyways, in a big way.
Yeah, I agree with you. Okay, I think we have time for just one more question. Jennifer asks, can you address the phenomenon of divorced women generally having custody of the children? This means that the women are saddled with a lot more responsibilities post-divorce, while their exes have very little. I see these divorced dads online who are my age requesting only younger women, contacting them. And I have a number of men who just don't want to be involved with a woman with children. A lot of men. She's met a lot of men. These issues may very well have caused the divorces to begin with. I don't think there's any true equality of the sexes. And it's just too easy for guys to go online and find a younger lady who hasn't had to go through life as much. I'm going to toss it to you first, Ray, to tackle this one.
So I don't have any kids, and I'm not married and have not been yet, so I may not be the best authority on this one, but I would probably rebuff this a little bit with saying, at the end of the day, it seems like there are a lot of guys that want more custody and can't get it because the state's really geared towards giving the woman, the mother, more custody. So I don't know if it's fair. If you want your husband to have more of your ex to have more of the kids, then push for that, unless he's a deadbeat. But and then the idea of men criticizing men for only dating younger women or wanting younger women, I don't know if that's fair either, because some women say, I want older men. I want someone that's 5, 10, 20 years older than me in some cases, which is fine. You're allowed to date who you want. But I think if this goes anecdotally, if this guy just is being a deadbeat dad, then yes, that's a bad thing and it's unfair. And you should go to the courts to solve that. But it's definitely a tricky one. What do you think?
Well, I can say as a parent who's happily married, but I have actually a lot of friends and also a lot of clients who are dating after divorce. And, you know, it sounds unfortunately like Jennifer's particular situation, the dad is not involved enough in the kids' lives for her liking. But from my experiences and the people that I talk to every day, that is not the case at all. And I find that now it leans more towards 50-50 custody. And I've actually talked to a lot of divorced women who are like, well, you know, the bad thing is I don't have my kids half the time. The good thing is that on those other nights, I can go out and do other things and I can explore things about myself that I didn't have the time to. And so, you know, you make sacrifices, but then you look at what are the gains that you can get in your life. And I just really caution women to be very careful about the language that they use. And I hear this way too much from women who say, all men want to date younger women. And unfortunately, it's just not true. Or fortunately, it's really just not true. Now, men may think that they want to date younger women, and they may put on their profile that they're seeking a younger age range. But it has been proven time and time again through their actual behaviors on the site that even if they put that age range, that does not mean they would not consider dating a woman who is older or their same age, but it does require you, Jennifer, to be more proactive. So you have to send messages to men online and make the first move so that you're coming up in their search. And if you have an attractive profile and you say all the things that they want to hear, then I guarantee you, Jennifer, those men will be interested in you and will write back. But the mantras that we repeat in our mind are really, really important. So I would challenge you to see if you can find another mantra to replace that belief that you have gotten and confirmed through that programming that you have repeated for yourself in saying all the men only want to date younger women and it's harder for women after divorce than dads. Every time you say that, I want you to replace it with something, a positive thought, and say there are many men out there who would want to date me. And even a current statement, like I am currently meeting men who are successful, fulfilling, attractive, and all the things that you want. And really picture that happening for yourself. And you will be amazed at how powerful that can be. That's all the time we have for today. I hope you've enjoyed today's show. It's going to be a little interesting on Dates and Mates. I'll be back and forth filming the show in New York City for a few weeks. So but I'm going to keep going with Dates and Mates. We're not going to take a hiatus like last time because I want to keep bringing my advice to you. I want to keep sharing producer Jay's insights, and Ray Christian, the CEO of the Textpert app, has so many great insights to share on dating and relationships. So we're going to keep bringing this show to you. Until next week, you can follow me on Twitter at Damona Hoffman. Follow Ray and the Textpert app at Textpert_app. And go ahead and download that Textpert app so you can post your texting dilemmas or your question, and that could get answered on a future show. I'm your host, Damona Hoffman. And until next week, happy dating. Mm-hmm.